Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Getting your first book published. It is a program that is coming up on the 28th of this month at the Downtown Library, and we are going to talk about that this morning. We have three of the panelists. There are a number of panelists, and we've got three of them. Corey McLaughlin with Germana joins us by phone in the next segment. But this morning in studio with us is Rick Poland, Jim Hall, and Germana President Dr. David Sam. Good morning to all of you. Thanks for coming in.
Morning, Ted.
This, Dr. Sam, is a lot of people, the number of interesting things about this program. A lot of everyone, I guess, the three of you all have different stories to tell, but everybody has a different story to tell. You get everybody together in one room on the 28th, and I think there'll be a lot of good information that night.
Yeah, it's a part of our efforts at the college to extend our mission out into the community. Germana Presents. And it's something we look forward to doing, hearing the different stories. There'll be differences. On the other hand, we were just chatting. There's a lot of similarities in the Sisyphean task of getting your book published.
Wait, now there's a word that hasn't been used on this show ever. So congratulations.
That's what you get when you invite a college president.
Exactly.
Well, and English teacher.
No, and I was waiting for you to say the line you usually get in every time you're here of community is in our name, and this really does fit
community
that.
Is our middle name, yes.
So, again, this is getting your first book published. It's the 28th, 7 o'clock at the Central Rappahannock Regional Library. You may have to hold that microphone through at least the first segment, Rick, but the microphone fell apart on you, and you have handled it like a pro over there, by the way. Jim Hall here. Jim is the author of the Last Lynching in Northern Virginia, Seeking Truth at Rattlesnake Mountain. You weren't in the fall. It was a terrific show that we have played a number of times. How difficult was it for you to get your first book published?
It was difficult. I think it was, I break it down into three easy steps. I joke that there are three easy steps. One is you got to write it. And it took a while to write it, but I did write it. And then you got to sell it. You got to market it. What I learned is that you got to find the right publisher. I walked down many a wrong road trying to find a publisher, and I realized after those failures that these were the wrong roads. And once I identified a publisher that I thought was a good fit for me, it clicked. It worked. And then the third thing I think is all important is to get up when you get knocked down. You are definitely going to get knocked down. The road to success is paved with failure. And how you react to that failure is all important. If you can get up, try again, then that you might have success.
Well, and in your case, Jim, some would say, it would appear anyway, at least from the outside, you kind of had some knowledge of how the system works. You'd been in journalism and
right.
Obviously knew people that had gotten books published.
36 years in journalism, but book publishing is an absolutely different industry. I was a novice. I felt like I was completely unprepared to deal with a major publisher. Hired an attorney to help me. Stumbled along and would do a lot of things differently next time. But overall, a really wonderful experience. It's been just life-changing in many ways.
Rick, what's your story? You similar at all to Jim?
Yeah, I echo everything that Jim said. It's mine's a little different in that I'm writing more commercial fiction. Mine's a thriller, and breaking into that is really tough because you know you're going up against the Lee Childs of the world or Steve Barry or whatever, and just to get noticed, I mean, it's almost impossible just to get an agent, and you know, and if you get an agent, then your agent's got to sell it to a publisher. And, you know, there's only five big publishers left in the United States.
That's all?
That's it. Just five big ones. And then there's hundreds, don't get me wrong, hundreds and hundreds of small and regional publishers, but they don't have the backing to give you any sort of marketing of your book. And, you know, you can write the best book in the world, but if nobody ever knows it exists, you're not going to sell any copies. So it's just, I mean, I face that. I got turned down by 38 agents. And then I have a very strange story of how I actually found my agent. It's a little long. I can go into it. It'd take a couple of minutes.
But, dude, yeah. Well, how'd you, I mean, well, 38 times is kind of like, Jim, I mean, at some point, I guess I would just start to feel like this is just not going
to
work.
Well, you go to writers conferences and they tell you, you know, this is what's going to happen and just don't give up. And the people who get published are the people who persist. And it's like, if you just never give up, you will get published someday. And it's sort of the same thing as about writing a book. Everybody wants to write a book, but nobody actually finishes it. Everybody starts it a week or two later. It's the people who actually persist and get the book done eventually will get it published. I mean, you can get published, but it's not easy. So anyway, so my story, and real fast, is that there's a woman over on the West Coast. She teaches writing. Her name is Mary Buckham, and she's written a lot of books on writing. One is called Active Setting, which my weakest point in my writing is setting. So we would email back and forth. I bought all her books. I said, hey, if you're ever on the East Coast, love to meet you. So she wrote me back, yeah, I'm going to be at the Richmond Virginia Romance Writers meeting. This is November of 2015. So I wrote them, mind if I come? Sure. So I'm one of two guys in the room. It's full of about 60 women. And so they introduced me. This is Rick Pullen. You know, he's writing a thriller. All the rest of them, obviously, writing romance. And at the end of the day, you know, I'm standing in line to buy some of Mary's books. This woman taps me on the shoulder and says, hey, I'd love to read your manuscript. And I said, sure. You know, that's. And then she said, well, my brother is an agent. And I go, oh, sure, you know. And so that was just a Saturday. So Monday morning, I emailed it to her. And Monday afternoon, she wrote back, this is the best thing I've read in years. I go, oh, wait a minute. Now, I've 38 people have turned me down already. I'm not believing this. And she said, I haven't quite finished it yet, but I called my brother already. He's on the soccer field with his kid, but we'll be back in touch. Next day, she wrote me back, loved the book, said she gave it to her brother. He's going to read it. Well, then a month goes by, 2 months go by, nothing. And then finally, he writes back, really like your book, but I don't think it'll take off. So that was the end. So then I have another publisher friend of mine, Ron Souter, who actually used to work in Fredericksburg at the Richmond Times-Dispatch many years ago, back when I was at the Freelance Star. And he said, Rick, just get it out there. Go to Amazon, do something with them. And he told me about this Kindle Scout program, which is Kindle Press. And basically, Kindle Press liked my book, picked it up, published it. And then it sold in 3 weeks. It was number one on three Amazon bestseller lists.
Huh.
Well, that caught the attention of the guy who turned me down. And so I was going to be at a writing conference in July, so we got together for brunch, and I signed a contract. So it's everybody's got their own weird way of getting an agent, but now we have an agent.
Dr. Sam, in your case, you've got poetry that you were marketing out there.
Yeah, and if you'd ask me why, I have no good answer, except I, for whatever reason, I need to write poetry. And a lot of people, friends of mine, all the way back to when I was a student, would say, well, I only write for myself. I don't write for an audience. Well, I don't believe them, but that would probably make sense because there isn't much of an audience for poetry. I mean, once upon a time, people would stand in line to buy Wordsworth's book, or they would subscribe to actually buy his book in advance or something like that. But the audience is very small. No, I mean, that doesn't mean there aren't thousands of people reading poetry, but we're not talking millions. And so you really have to have a lot of these persistence or delusion that keeps you going. I started writing poetry when I was in my teens, seriously started writing when I was about 18, started sending things out 43 years ago, conservatively, either individual poems or collections have been rejected something in the area of 600-700 times over the years. And the number of acceptances now, and that is of an individual poem or a collection, Haven't reached 100. So my overall success rate recently is 13.6%, according to my spreadsheet. And that's actually pretty decent. But it's very tough. And all of the publishers, with a few exceptions of poetry, are very small presses associated with universities, nonprofits outside of universities. They come and they go. Some of them last a long time. Some of them last a few years or a year or two. You're talking about marketing budgets. Most of them don't do anything for you. They put things out in email or on social media, which is very helpful now. I mean, social media, getting the word out. But you're on your own in terms of advertising it. If you go out to book festivals or to do readings or anything like that, they're not going to pay your travel expenses.
That's the case with the big publishers too. You think these, you know, the big five out of New York, they're going to send you on a book tour and all this. It doesn't happen. Rarely, rarely ever happens.
John Grisham, maybe.
Yeah. But you have to have a name already.
Yeah.
It is getting your first book published. It's going to be February 28th, a panel discussion at the downtown library, 7 o'clock. It is free. It's a Germanic Community College program, and we are talking about it this morning with three of the panelists. There are others on the panel. We'll get to that as we go along this morning. Dr. David Sam here, Jim Hall, Rick Pollan. When we come back, Corey McLaughlin will join us by phone in the next segment. More on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Getting your first book published, a Germanic Community College panel discussion. It takes place the 28th at the Downtown Library in Fredericksburg, beginning at 7 o'clock. We're going to take just a break away from our authors in studio to briefly talk by phone with Germanic Professor Corey McLaughlin. He is also on this panel. Corey, big news about your book about a week ago.
It was big. It's been in the works for a little while, but it was just announced that it will be made into a movie with some A-list actors, and it's all pretty exciting.
Susan Sarandon, one of the people that will be involved in the movie. Boy, Corey, what an honor.
I was just trying to write a book that I felt needed to be written, and I wanted to read, and it hadn't been written yet, and so that was my focus, is just writing a good book. And as far as the movie goes, it was really serendipitous. The director was in a rainstorm in New Orleans and ducked into a little, it was actually a record shop, and I saw a copy of my book there, picked it up, and called me that night to option it. And so it transpired from there.
Wow, well, your heart had to be beating when you got that call.
Well, you know, I was a little apprehensive, to be honest. I think after you put so much time, I took about 5-6 years to write the book. And there's, you know, a sense of what's going to happen if Hollywood takes it over. Are they going to stay true to the book? Are they going to change it to meet audience desire, something like that? So I was excited, but I was apprehensive at the same time. But it's come together you know, better than I ever anticipated it would.
when might we see it in the theaters, Corey? Do you know at this point?
As far as its current status, it's in Berlin right now. They're doing what's called selling it on spec. So all the actors are lined up, and investors are kind of lined up, ready to write checks, essentially. So filming in New Orleans is supposed to begin in May or June. And depending on how long editing takes, I think by the fall or early next year, it should be in some kind of theatrical release. Some of those details will be worked out. The movie world is completely different from the book world. That's like a whole other panel, to be honest.
Yeah, you'll be able to lead that discussion someday.
Right. It's, as I said to the director many times, I don't even know how movies get made. I mean, they're so chaotic, and everything is just such high risk. But this is coming together, so it's It's good.
Germana professor and author Corey McLaughlin. He's author of the book Butterfly and the Typewriter, the story of John Kennedy Toole. That is being made into a movie. Corey, also part of the Getting Your First Book Published panel at the Downtown Library on the 28th at 7 o'clock. Corey, that night, being part of that panel, talk about a thing or two that you're gonna share with the audience.
Well, I think, you know, I've had a lot of people talk to me over the years, say, hey, I have an idea for a book, or so-and-so tells me I should publish this book. And I think you begin with an idea, but you really do have to, as my agent says, you know, in order to finish a book, you kind of have to be obsessed with it. I can tell you, I'm about ready to turn in my second manuscript now for my second book, and you really have to devote, a large section of your brain to it in order for it to come to be. And if you have that kind of devotion, I mean, I think you can certainly do it. But it's not something you're going to do on a weekend or, a couple weeks in the summer. For most of us, it's something that takes a lot of energy, and it's hard, but it's also very rewarding.
Butterfly and the Typewriter, how long did that take?
I'd say it probably took about 5 to 6 years. I mean, I began, beginning sort of a slow research process, and originally it was actually going to be a PhD dissertation, but then I ended up going trade press and got an agent in New York. So it took a while to kind of find its place. And there are many pathways. I'm sure at the panel, you know, there are all kinds of pathways you could take to publish a book.
Yeah.
The path I took was just one. But it does, you know, it takes time. And some of it depends on the genre. I mean, a nonfiction book that requires a lot of research usually requires investment. And, you know, you got to travel around, interview people, and get into archives, which is exciting, but that also takes time.
Germana professor and author, Corey McLaughlin, author of Butterfly in the Typewriter. We need to let you go. Corey, great stuff. Thank you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you. I look forward to it.
Back here with our studio guests, Germana president David Sam. Jim Hall is the author of The Last Lynching in Northern Virginia, and Rick Poland, Naked Ambition, a political thriller. What Corey said, first of all, Rick, how long did it take you? How long was it for you?
It was 5 years.
That's what he said.
I had a scene in my head for more than a decade, and basically, it was federal prosecutor leaking a story to a newspaper reporter, and then his boss is getting angry, you know, and want to find out the source of the leak. And so, you know, they subpoena the reporter to court, and in a series of circumstances, at the last second, the guy who leaked the story ends up having to prosecute the reporter. I've had that in my mind forever. How do you resolve that? And for 10 years, I couldn't resolve that. And then I'm sitting at lunch one day with a colleague having a beer, and it hit me. And so that was, 6 years ago now. And I started writing that night. That was in August of 2011, I think. I had the first draft done by January, February, something like that. But then it took me another 4 years, 4.5 years, to actually write the book.
Well, interesting, start to finish. And yeah. It's like he said, it doesn't just happen. Yeah.
But now I'm working on my second book, and it'll take me barely a year because I know what I'm doing now. It's a big difference from the first time. I mean, I'm a journalist so all my life, so I've been accused of writing fiction since I started my career.
alternative
facts, but I really didn't. And so to go from writing nonfiction to fiction is huge. And I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I literally read 40 books about how to write fiction. Everything. There are books about how to write a sex scene. There are books about how to write setting, how to write dialogue. I've read them all.
Huh. Now, Jim, for you, you're dealing with a real-life happening. So in some cases, you're just doing an expanded feature piece.
I'm using the same excuse me, Ted. I'm using the same skills that I used through over a 36-year career in newspapers, pounding the pavement, walking into libraries, walking into courthouses, making cold calls to individuals, asking if they would like to, if they'd be willing to sit with me and talk about what they know, thinking, planning, outlining, all of the things that I had done as a reporter, taking pictures, which proved very valuable as well. observing closely the natural settings in which these incident occurred. That I had great training for that, and I feel like the book is an extension of my long career as a newspaper person. The writing of it was very, very, very different and took a long time, took months of daily writing, several hours a day, several days a week. But I had the time. I retired in 2013, and so I devoted the time to sat at the dining room table with my laptop and kept writing and rewriting. And soon enough, I had a document that I was ready to show people. I gave went to Kinko's and got 14 copies printed and prearranged and mailed them out to friends, former colleagues, four history professors, and asked for their feedback, and got a ton of great feedback, and then revised and then began shopping it.
I was going to ask you, so you had to go back and rewrote?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I felt like I have 14 great editors. I believe in the editorial process that a writer needs a good editor, and that I listen to a good editor who is the editor is the equivalent of an interested, caring reader.
Yeah.
If you find a good one. And if they have a problem with a passage, if they don't, my brother, for one, I respect his knowledge and abilities tremendously. A man jumped in a Rio and drove away. And I didn't think anything of it, but my brother immediately picked it up. What is a Rio? And it's a type of pickup truck that is no longer made. So I had to add a couple words of explanation to the text. But my 14 readers came up with literally dozens of things like that.
Dr. Sam, with you in poetry, I mean, and you've been writing poetry since you were a kid.
Yeah. I just had a book published, actually was released yesterday. It's a chat book, which is a very small book, in this case of about 20 poems. First time I've ever won a prize. It was a grand prize winner, small press in Florida. How long did it take me to write it? Either 3 months or 7 years, depending on how you look at it. I was reading Emily Dickinson again, rereading Emily Dickinson, but I started reading Dickinson close to 50 years ago, studied her in college twice. Was reading Helen Vendler. She is a critic who writes about poetry, as I was reading Dickinson. And I went back to poems that I had written as long ago as 2009, but I started rewriting them, influenced by how Dickinson wrote. So I wasn't imitating Dickinson. I wasn't trying to sound like her, but I was trying to allow her voice to influence mine. And I put it together into a larger collection of about 40 or so poems. And there was a contest, a chapbook contest, that I entered because it had been rejected about 10 or 12 times, I think, already. But they wanted something that was only 20 poems, so I selected the best of them and submitted it, figuring, given my track record, that would be another either standard or polite rejection, or standard and polite. And and instead, it won. And curiously enough, the editor said that because these are blind, your author's name is supposed to be removed from it. Anything that shows who you are, the editorial panel that resulted in it being the first place. They thought that I was a female writer. I'm not sure why, either because of being influenced by Dickinson or because I had truly a louder voice to influence mine.
Interesting. We need to take a break. It's getting your first book published is the topic of a Germana program at the Central Rappahannock Regional Library downtown, February 28th at 7 o'clock. A number of authors will be participating. We have in studio with us this morning Rick Poland, Jim Hall, and David Sam. More on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:33.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
It is getting your first book published February 28th, 7 o'clock, Downtown Library. It is a free program. Germanic Community College is sponsoring this. A number of authors getting together to talk about their stories and give you some tips. We've got three of them right here in studio with us this morning in Jim Hall, Rick Pullen, and David Sam. Rick, it's got to be, as you guys all talk about rejection and I guess I don't know that it could ever get easy, and in some cases, I mean, you're putting on paper, and you know you're typing there. Especially in your case, you know you've put a story together, a fiction story together, and you're feeling like this is pretty good stuff. And to get rejected so many times, how do you do it?
Well, I mean, I go to something called the International Thriller Writers Annual Thriller Fest up in New York, and so you hear stories, and so you know what to expect, sort of. But yeah, you're always like, obviously hoping someone will pick it up. But I mean, in the fiction writing part of this, what you have to do is send a query letter to agents. And they don't want to, and so you explain what you have and all that. Someone write back, go ahead, send me the first 30 pages, or send me a synopsis or something. Some of them say, okay, send me the whole manuscript. And then you don't hear back from them. And you don't hear back from them. You don't hear back from them for 6 months. And lots of them you never hear back from. And most of them just say, well, this isn't for me. Now, the thing is like everybody is super polite. And the reason they're super polite is if you ever take off and, click, they don't want to have made you angry at them in the industry.
Don't burn a bridge.
It's a relatively small industry. The people who make it, there are, I think, 250 fiction writers in America actually make a really good living at it, and that's it. All the rest, you don't make a living wage in order to really live off of what you do, and that's just the reality of what's out there. So when you go to the bookstore and you see the same authors over and over and over again, it's sort of like in the movies they make a sequel. First one made money, so the second one will, and that's sort of what you deal with, and that's what makes it so hard to break in.
Well, and I guess some would say, well, just because now, as opposed to what it was years ago, self-publishing is an option. But you all have said, if you self-publish, your family and friends are gonna see it. But that's probably it.
I was at a writers' conference where, and I forget his name, but the guy who created Smashwords was speaking. The average self-published book sells fewer than 5 copies.
Wow.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, I've self-published, and the one that we used as a fundraiser for Germana, mm-hmm. we won't count because that was an anomalous one. But the others have done better than 5. The one has sold about 15, and the other one is close to 100 copies. But this poetry, so I mean, even a book of poetry published by a major poet by a major poetry press will sell thousands, not tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands.
Well, in Rick's case, he's writing a fiction thriller. You've got a story that actually happened, and if you've done the research, did that make it any easier to try to market it?
I believe it did. I believe that I had a nonfiction account of an incident that occurred in 1932. And I placed, Corey said something I think very interesting in the earlier segment with him. He said it took a while for his book to find its place. And that's exactly what happened to me. I submitted the manuscript inappropriately. By that I mean to publishers that were not a good fit. And so when I found one, History Press in Charleston, South Carolina, that appeared to be a good fit, I went to the city library and made sure they produced professional-looking books. And I also studied their catalog. And in that catalog, I noticed that it was heavily weighted toward what they call true crime stories. And I thought, well, I've got a true crime story. It was a lynching that occurred 40 miles from here in 1932, and the perpetrators were never prosecuted. So I pitched my query cover letter in that way. I explained the incident, and I said, I think you will find it to be a good fit for your true crime series. I had a reply from History Press editor in less than 24 hours. He said, I don't have the authority to make the decision myself, but I want to let you know that we are interested and we will get back to you. And he did. And I learned later that their true crime line of stories is their best-selling line of stories. So I felt like my homework paid off. Mm-hmm. I found, as Corey said, it took a while for the book to find its place, but it eventually did.
And one difference between fiction and nonfiction is nonfiction has a built-in audience, and that's the nice thing. Whereas fiction, you know, I write a book. Well, who knows Rick Pullen? Nobody knows me as an author. So, and okay, it's all right, the only audience I have is people that are quasi-interested or interested in thrillers. But is mine good? Is mine bad? Is mine the type they want to read? Whereas Jim, he's got a real audience. I have to create my own from scratch, and that's really the difference between the two.
Well, and you said earlier, Rick, that you're working on your second book, and it's much easier now that you've done it. And now that you've done it, now that you've sold some books, is that going to make, do you think, the second book easier to get out there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've already had an offer from my publisher. They would publish it sight unseen. So it's like, whoa.
That's cool.
I was shocked. And so I asked my agent about that. I said, well, let me look at it first. I'm facing a dilemma with my next book because it's a sequel to my first thriller. And I've run into something I didn't know about publishing. Nobody wants to publish a piece of a series that's already been published by another publisher. So I already put my agent in a bad situation. And so he says he wants to read it first and he'll make a decision, but it will probably go to Kindle Press again because of that. So now my third book will have to be a standalone so he can sell it to another publisher.
So you're kind of redirecting everything now. Are you going to have to how many sequels do you think you might have here?
Well, I hope to have four. I mean, okay. The first one is a political thriller about the presidency. The one I'm working on now is about the murder of a Supreme Court justice. The third one will be about Congress, and the fourth one will be about the Washington news media. And they all have naked in the title, so it keeps the series going. So now I have to, I've got all this in my head. I've been working on this for years, and now I have to change directions and come up with a new character. I mean, it's nice when you've got a character from one book. You know that character, and you can just carry it on. Now I have to create something, a totally different world. So that'll be what I'll start on that in the fall.
Do you tie in current events at all? Or quasi?
You got to be careful about that. But yes, I mean, certain things, I mean, you could call my first book a political thriller. It's just a thriller, but, it has certain, it uses certain things that happen in government and things like that but it's got its share of murders and all that kind of stuff.
Dr. Sam, with you doing poetry, it must be interesting to read. Do you go back and read poetry, go back and read things you did 5, 10.
Yeah, and I'm constantly rewriting stuff too. But in terms of publishing, literary fiction and poetry, or what's called creative or literary nonfiction, is a very small market. But the same rules apply. You have to try to find the right place. For instance, I read journals, I read publishers' poetry. I try to find where the kind of thing that I write might be something they would be interested in. Because there's very different ways of writing and styles and subject matters. And some is more obscure and some is more accessible. One of the poems I wrote was called Samuel Clemens Cat. And it's about Mark Twain. And I sent it to one publisher and they sent it back. And you were talking about being polite. Well, that's a little different. They didn't really care whether they were polite or not. They said, there's nothing new here. No one would be interested whatsoever. in this poem.
That's brutal.
Well, you know, fine. That's your opinion. Maybe you're right. I have to consider whenever I hear, because I have people that read mine too, my critiques or editors. I have to decide whether what they say is valid or useful or not. But I had sent that also to a publisher in Ireland, and they liked it. And in as a collection they put out of 50 poems, they put it at the end because they thought it was one of the better poems in the collection. And you want to either be at the front of a collection or at the back of a collection. So it's a lot of shopping, a lot of research to try to find the right. And then you still don't know for sure. You send it out. It looks like it's exactly the place that would want your stuff. And you get a rejection virtually overnight. So sometimes, though, it's because they've got 1,000 people submitted and they have room for 20 poems.
When you retire in June, do you expect to do as much or even more writing? Or what are some, are you going to keep it up?
My plan after a vacation with grandkids will be to work Monday through Friday, at least half a day, on the business of writing, either writing, rewriting, sending stuff out, or the bookkeeping of collecting rejections, researching, and resending stuff back out again. So I have some structure because I have been going to work every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week since September 1971. But it also will give me time because I have been forced to write late at night or a few hours on the weekend, and now I'll have more time.
Jim Hall, your Jim Hall's book is The Last Lynching in Northern Virginia, and that's available locally, isn't it?
It is indeed. Books a Million, Barnes and Noble, the Agora Coffee Shop downtown. Yes,
it's a great read. It's a riveting read because so many people are in that book are still alive, and as it's gotten out there, have you gotten more stories come in since it was published?
Indefinitely. The accused of the incident, and he was accused of an assault and then killed by his neighbors. I never made any contact, despite great effort, to reach any members of his family. I just did what didn't. I felt like I had great effort, but I just was unlucky in a sense. Well, I'm sure Rick has experienced it. When you write a story, all of a sudden, the persons that you wanted to get in contact with before publication give you a call.
Yeah,
you've all of a sudden there they are on the telephone. I had known about you 6 months ago. Well, the family of the victim has made contact and has provided us with a number of great details that I wish. In fact, I submitted my reprint correction form to the publisher this week, and in it I have included some new details. I hope they will be able to use them, to find space for them.
You told me when you'd come in earlier that's one of the things with the,
yes,
with the publisher. They don't like to do that.
They don't want to hear from you. As far as they'll correct misspellings, wrong dates. But the only way I was able to submit changes, or I should call them additions, because they're really not changes to the text, is the editor said, find a space at the end of a chapter that does not fill out the page, and whatever you do, don't mess up the pagination or the page number.
Yeah.
And so that was somewhat limiting. Believe me, I had to shoehorn it in at a couple
of
spots.
You're not adding an afterword.
No.
<either.
laughs> And I said, and I have heard back from them. I think it's very significant. They usually respond very quickly to my emails. But on this one, they have not responded. It's been about 48 hours.
That's too much. It's
a little bit ominous.
Yeah. Rick, is your book available locally?
You can order it from local bookstores. I need to just spend the time and go to each one of them, and I haven't, and said, hey, would you order it, because it's on the local author.
So. Yeah, yeah. Naked Ambition is.
But is it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble online?
It's on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble online. It's, you can go online and buy it anywhere. I mean, that's one of the things about Kindle Press. Kindle Press is only an ebook publisher, so you have to actually go through. I had to self-publish the print book. So, but I made that available through distributors and everybody where else, so anybody can order it from anywhere. pretty much.
And mine is too, Ted. It's on available on Amazon.
Okay. You too, and having all the connections you do and having worked for so many years with the Freelance Star, do you all as former colleagues or talk to each other and talk about and, you know, help each other and give each other tips through this whole process?
Jim and I connected when he wrote his book. So, yeah, we both published last year, so it was like,
It was. It's interesting. I certainly knew Rick by reputation, and he's a resident of the city and active in city government, and was a longtime reporter here for the newspaper. But he departed just as I was leaving the news. He departed just as I was coming to the newspaper.
Oh, okay.
So we never really sat in the same room and worked together, but certainly knew a lot about him.
Getting Your First Book Published. It's a program at the Central Rappahannock Regional Library on the 28th, February 28th, 7 o'clock. It is a free program. David Sam, Jim Hall, Rick Poland here this morning. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Dr. David Sam here, Jim Hall, Rick Poland here. We're talking about getting your first book published. It's a program at the downtown library on February 28th, 7 o'clock. Germana is putting this program on. It is a free program. A couple of other authors also will be involved, but we've got three of them here this morning. Jim, you just told me during the break, the business side of this is interesting.
It is indeed, and I'm learning about it much too late, and maybe this word of advice might help someone else. Expenses are deductible in the year in which they occur, even if you don't have any revenue, and for writers. And the IRS is somewhat forgiving and understanding about the writing process, that it's front-loaded, that there's a lot that goes on that costs money, be it postage in Dr. Sam's case or submission fees, travel fees in my case. I can't count how much I have paid to have material copied in courthouses. Mm-hmm. Taking a source to lunch, whatever those expenses might be, I have dutifully recorded them over a number of years, thinking that I would load them all in on the year, in the year in which I finally earn some revenue, which will probably be this year.
Doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work that way. You're supposed to take their expenses in the year in which they occur. So all of those expenses are lost to me. But
you can amend.
I could go back and amend all my returns over the last 10 years, I guess. But
3.
Well, anyway, Rick,
expert here.
I guess there is a lot of, you're traveling and trying to promote and do what you can.
Exactly.
I mean, unlike Jim, I was self-employed many years ago, so I knew to deduct everything. And I asked my accountant, I said, so can I do this? She said, oh, yeah. And just as Jim said, the IRS is very understanding. They understand it takes years to put together.
Even for poets.
Yeah. I mean, it just takes a long time. And maybe you'll never make money. I mean, this year I'll actually have to pay taxes. But, which is a good thing and a bad thing. I mean,
Well, I'll tell you what, the thing that's been fascinating about and just great about this program, you all have such a passion for what you do. And you've been knocked down so many times.
Yes.
But it hasn't deterred anything, and you've still got enthusiasm.
Yes.
Yeah, if you read what's published, clearly it's not always the best books that get published. Some wonderful books get published, and there's a lot of schlock that gets published too.
And is some of it just who you know or just luck?
But I think patient persistence, both in the craft of your writing, the research, if that applies, and the business, which are really two very different things, but the skills you learn at being a journalist, at meeting deadlines, having an audience, the all of that work can pay off.
And the couple of books that you've got out there are, you've got Dreams of.
I've got this will be my fourth book out. DavidAnthonySam.com. Go
okay.
to the website,
okay.
And the bookstore there will link you to where you can buy them.
Jim Haltz, The Last Lynching in Northern Virginia, Seeking Truth at Rattlesnake Mountain. It's based in Fauquier County. You working on any or thinking about anything about what's next?
No, I'm not, Ted. I'm waiting for a great story to sort of smack me in the face, and it hasn't quite happened yet.
Rick, you've got Naked Ambition is the book you've got out there, and you've said you've got. When do you think your second one will be ready to go?
Naked Truth probably come out in the fall. If Kindle Press picks it up, if my agent decides to go with Kindle Press, it'll come out in the fall.
And then are you already thinking about, I guess you've got at least the bare bones of what the next book is going to be.
Well, yeah, in the sequel or sequence or the series, but I've got to come up with a standalone next. So that's going to delay the series completed. But, that's part of I'd be called a hybrid author. I'll have the series with Kindle Press and what other books I end up writing would be with another publisher.
Well, myself, growing up and watching the Waltons and watching John Boy write a book and all that, that was my vision of what writing a book was, and getting to know all of you and seeing all this over the years, it's been interesting, and it's a tough world out there.
Yes, it's all about persistence.
Getting your first book published. It's February 28th, Downtown Library, Central Rappahannock Regional Library on Caroline Street, 7 o'clock. It is free. A number of authors. We've had three of them here, Dr. David Sam, Jim Hall, and Rick Pullen. Thank you all. And we'll get you all
Thank
in
you.
Again separately in the next little bit, and we'll talk about your books alone sometime too. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Ted.
Thank you.
That is it for Town Talk. See you next time on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.